May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just a few moments ago, with all the grads and the college students up front, it was a heartwarming moment. Appreciating the community of love and grace of God's presence in our lives. And yet I would say that these are scary, uncertain, and dangerous times. And that's a truth that I am sad to recognize and share with you this morning. Pastor Dylan Oz from Texas, now preaching in Oklahoma City, said this past week that gay people should be lined up against the wall and shot in the back of the head. This is a pastor of a church that claims to love Jesus Christ. Israeli forces are killing dozens of Palestinians while they seek humanitarian aid. The war rages on between Russia and Ukraine, and violence in America is on the rampage. Let's pick a day. How about a week ago, June 1st? A Palestinian man on that day bombed a peaceful protest concerning the Jewish hostages held in Gaza. 12 were sent to the hospital. Last Sunday, 1 week ago, June 1st, we had 4 mass shootings in the states of Virginia, Minnesota, and North Carolina. 4 dead, 23 injured. It is my prayer in my study of God's Word, in my time with our staff when we pray for our church, for you, I fight slipping into despair. And sometimes I wonder if I'm edging toward depression. I am like many of you, at the very least, overwhelmed. Yeah? Yeah. And I look for ways to cope with the doom and the gloom of these scary, uncertain, and dangerous times. I've read several articles on how to cope with these times. One coping mechanism that I read about was mentioned in Psychology Today article among the other publications. It's called doom spending. Have you heard of it? People do it when they are concerned about the economy and foreign affairs, feeling stressed by the state of the world, and they soothe themselves with shopping sprees. It works if you're a young man who might feel that he can never afford a house, so he splurges on a vacation. Or a woman who cannot do anything to bring peace to the Middle East, so she buys a new outfit. I understand that attending a Taylor Swift concert in Paris is an amazing experience, no doubt about it, but is it worth the airfare, the expense of hotels and restaurants, and cost of tickets that run from $187 to over $11,000 a piece? Apparently so, because 20% of those tickets of Taylor Swift's 2024 Paris performance were purchased by Americans. According to Psychology Today, doom spending is when people shop to self-soothe because they feel pessimistic about the economy, their future, about life in general. Mikhail James told Psychology Today in September of last year, one of my parents became really sick a few years ago, and the first thing I did was buy a professional-grade stand mixer and learned how to bake. She bought a 25-pound bag of flour, baking supplies that amounted to nearly $2,000. She said, I couldn't really do anything about my parents' health, so I started baking. And I did all of that because I was sad. I sort of get that. My mom died on Thanksgiving Day in 1995, and by Christmas, I had made over a dozen gingerbread houses. I put them on platters, sized pieces of cardboard covered with aluminum foil, complete with a tree that was with green frosting, made it look like a Christmas tree, and then there were two. I don't know how my wife coped with me doing that. I actually brought one here to this church, 1995. I had no inkling I'd ever become the pastor of this church. But we'd been invited to a fundraiser that year. You may remember it. It was a night with the Wesleys. Dale Miller was your pastor, and we were invited by Mary Jane and Dr. Jewell to come to that performance and that meal. So I brought one of my gifts, because you can't have 12 gingerbread houses in your house. and I brought him to the jewels as a gift. It was a stressful, uncertain time for me. And I get that we all grieve in different ways. For me, 30 years ago, gingerbread houses. Who knows? When we read the truly marvelous story of Pentecost, we should know that it was scary, uncertain, and dangerous times for them as well. As followers of Jesus, they were living in dangerous times. The book of Acts tells us that when the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in Jerusalem. They had just seen their leader, teacher, and Lord arrested up on trumped-up charges, crucified and beaten. The occupying forces of Rome colluded with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, to get rid of this Jesus. Scary, uncertain, and dangerous times, to be sure. Jesus had recently ascended into heaven, and they had no one to guide them. The future was uncertain, and it was anything but bright. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, like the wind from God that swept over the face of the waters on that first day of creation. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and those tongues rested on the heads of each of them. And like the fire that marked the presence of God on Mount Sinai, they could see this, they could experience it, they could feel it, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability to do so. God knew that the apostles were feeling gloom and doom, so God sent the Holy Spirit in a burst of Pentecost power. And suddenly a new future was being created. The fire of God was in the room. The apostles were given the gift of languages so that they could speak to all kinds of people of God's deeds of power. The future was no longer dark. It was bright, full of purpose and possibility. To return for a moment to the stresses and worries of today, housing costs, global instability, climate change, and family illnesses can trigger stress, pessimism, and sadness. All can become the cause of doom feelings and doom spending, according to those psychologists. We feel like it's the end, like it's Armageddon. And other psychologists say, well, doom spending is one thing you can also exercise. So next time you're feeling reaching for your phone or computer to doom shop, how about some exercise instead? Lift some weights, take a walk, go for a run. Exercise is an excellent reminder viscerally, says Dr. Dan Ariely, that you have control. Stress is a major component of impulsive behavior, he says. And what can be done to reduce it? Spending time with loved ones, in community, getting enough sleep, laughter. Our Christian faith contains a powerful treatment for sadness and stress. The Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost and has been present in the life of the church ever since. The Spirit of God's antidote to gloom is God's antidote to gloom and doom. And the fact is, the Holy Spirit has always been present in human history. From actually the beginning of creation, we read about it in the second verse of the first chapter of Acts, the second verse of our Bible. Tells us that the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep like a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The Hebrew word for wind is ruach. Ruach is also translated as spirit. The Spirit of God was upon creation. Friends, we don't have to feel like it's Armageddon. We will be led by the Spirit into a better future. God's antidote to sadness and stress continues to be given to us today. In the letter to Romans, the Apostle Paul tells us that all who were led by the Spirit of God are children of God, and if children of God, then heirs of God. Because we are led by the Spirit, we are never alone in our struggles. Almighty God is always right beside us as our heavenly parent. And we do not have to fall back into fear, Paul says, because God has given us a spirit of adoption. Adoption means that we have been chosen by God. We have been handpicked for inclusion and made part of God's family for eternity. In fact, it's important to recognize that the gift of the Holy Spirit isn't given to individuals, although individuals are blessed by that Spirit, and we are blessed by the fruit of that Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out on a community of believers. It is poured out on the family of God. But that's not all. If when you're a part of a family, then you're eligible to receive that inheritance. What good news this is, especially when we are feeling gloomy about the future. Paul says, when we cry, Abba, Father. Actually, Abba means Daddy. When you call out to Daddy, it's the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And suddenly the doom and gloom of the future begins to fade. And we can see ourselves as children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus the Christ. With the Spirit in our lives, we are assured that God is our Abba, that God loves us, wants to give us the riches of life. There may be struggles along the way. Is there anybody here who hasn't ever struggled in your life? No. Life can be hard sometimes. And there may be struggles along the way, but Paul assures us that when we suffer with Jesus, who are we with? Jesus. Then we will also be glorified with him. We can walk through our struggles. We can make it through the valleys of our life because somebody is beside us and we are called. The Spirit is given to that community so that we are with each other as well. We are meant to walk with each other through the difficult times of life. And we are reminded by Paul later in the same chapter, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That future is given to us, friends, through the Holy Spirit of God. And there's nothing gloomy about it. Nothing. In all creation, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So the power of Pentecost is all about the faithfulness of God. This outpour of God's Spirit is a constant testimony to God's faithfulness. The Hebrew Scriptures talk of God's steadfast love that endures forever. Both John the Baptist and Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, early in Acts, predicted the arrival of God's Spirit. And that arrival of God's Spirit is really the recognitions of God's presence, of the Spirit's presence all along. It's meant to be a fresh experience in all of our lives, not just once, but throughout our faith journey. Call them God moments, call them fresh wind, call them holy ahas. Whatever we call these new experiences of God's Spirit in our lives, then we are to know that we are people empowered by God's presence. You know, the interesting part of this whole long passage from the book of Acts with all those names of foreigners. You did a wonderful job, Pam. Thank you very much. It was great. Nobody likes to read the Pentecost scriptures. It's difficult. But all those people represent a church that is inclusive, a church that is in sync with Jesus Christ, part of the family of God. And it may be more accurate than to not talk about so much the power of Pentecost, but rather the empowerment of Pentecost. Because that's really what happened to that confused, dispirited band of disciples. Yes, they were thrilled by Jesus' resurrection, but ever since the ascension, they didn't seem to know what to do with their lives. Yes, they were rocked by the mighty wind and dazzled by the tongues of power, but that awesome Holy Spirit power doesn't harm them. In fact, it does just the opposite. It empowers them. Suddenly they find they can do amazing things like understand other languages. This happened, quote, as the Spirit gave them ability. Clearly, this is an enabling power that comes from God, a gift Christ followers are offered and gratefully receive. The Pentecost power becomes their own. And I want our college graduates and our college students, I want all of us to know that you are powerful because you are empowered by a God of love and grace and peace and a presence that continually feeds you. A state of gloom and doom is no place for one who is a follower of Jesus the Christ. God loves you and God empowers you to be the powerful presence of Christ in the world so that the world will be changed through us. And when we lean into and live with the power of God, then there is no room for gloom and doom. And that's the word of God for the people of God today at Central Church, in the name of our loving Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And the people said, Amen.